Divine Lord, here we find ourselves again this morning.
Yes.
As your predestinated children.
Yes.
And Lord, your servant, Brother Branham said, there's no better place we can be apart from being in the house of the Lord, except we are in heaven. So God, on the surface of the earth, we are in the best place that we can be this morning. Blessed be your holy name, O God. And Jesus Christ, our guardian together as unto thee, is not unto one another.
Amen.
Father of life, we have come to see Christ.
Yes.
And here, Lord, we're singing that you are so great.
Yes.
There is no one like you.
Yes.
You do miracles, dear Father. You save the soul, you heal the sick. You send to eternity. We are grateful unto thee, Lord. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come, my Lord, here to fellowship with your children this morning.
Amen.
I pray, may you throw aside a vessel of clay.
Amen.
And speak live unto the waiting congregation.
Amen.
My Lord and my God, may their needs be spoken, dear Father. Lord, may our needs be released unto us, Jesus. You know where our shoes are pinching us. I'm pleading, Lord, for deliverance.
Amen.
We are praying for mercy, dear Jesus. Post us, Father, into your will. Post us, Father, Lord, into your kingdom. You want to be higher on the ladder?
Yes.
Grant it in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, whenever we gather together, the enemy is always there.
Amen.
May we worship under the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Where the devil can do us no harm.
Amen.
Father, we hold on to thee this day.
Yes.
Strengthen us by the word.
Amen.
Quicken us by the spirit. Amen. Lord, may we feel your presence divine.
Yes.
Now, while we are living here, we'll say that the brethren returning from Emmaus did not have burn within us while he talked to us in the period of the service. Thank you for everything. Lent, Lord, the pastor's not here this morning. I thought, Lord, and I meet your servant, Brother Elijah Gibbs, but somehow thou knowest. Be with him wherever he is. Abide with us here too. Quicken us and inspire us. May the service not be a waste of time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. Sit here for a while. And we welcome us here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And gladdens my heart to come fellowship with you. Brother Simon Peter, he told me that I'll be speaking for Brother Elijah Gibbs. I said, all right, there's no problem. Anywhere God's children are found,
Amen.
Certainly we love to be identified with them. And I appreciate you already for your warm reception. Hallelujah. Though a visiting minister will be more comfortable if the resident pastor were to be present. But all is well. And we trust God will keep us within the confines of the scriptures.
Amen.
We have God Almighty,
Amen.
And he sent his Son,
yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ, to us. And we know that Jesus, the Son, is God Almighty manifested in flesh.
Amen.
But denominational people don't have that understanding.
Amen.
But the grace of God that has been added to the Bible in this end time, the prophecy, a prophetic gift, was added to the church ages.
Amen.
With a prophetic insight into the Bible. I pull out all the mysteries, things that have been hid from before the foundation of the world. But they've been made plain to us in this end time by the ministry of the prophet of Malachi 4. And it's on the strength of that message that we are all here this morning. It's on the strength of that message that I'm here all the way from Africa.
Amen.
And to fellowship with brothers and sisters in America. God bless you. Geographical stations may be different, but somehow, someday, we live together in heaven.
Amen.
In the presence of our Maker. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sorry I take a lot of water when I'm preaching. I don't know why, but I believe all is well. And we are free and relaxed in the presence of God.
Amen.
He is our Father. We are his children. There's nowhere else, none else we can go to. God Almighty is our bus stop.
Amen.
The message is our bus stop.
Amen.
And we come to church to refresh our faith, to renew our understanding, to pledge our loyalty to God. So there's nowhere we can go to. This is the only place we can come to. And we had the word of the living God. And that is my life. From my teenage life that God caught me by this message. I wish I believed it before I believed it. Amen. And you know, when I believed the message, a small boy, maybe 16, 17 thereabout, my parents were going to, they belonged to African church. That was a denominational church my parents goes to. And they said, I don't know why I'm saying this, you know. And they said, I must never believe the message. And I must never attend the inter-message church in our village then. But I've caught the revelation. I've caught the revelation. A pregnant woman cannot deny being pregnant. She's already pregnant. I caught the revelation. I told them, look, I can't help this. Is it that good? They say, is it that I go there or I leave their house? And they sent me out. And I left. Small boy. But God's grace was with us.
Amen.
Amen. And ask me today now, what made me to take such a stand? I think I will just tell you it's the grace of God. Our understanding was so small, but that grace held us steady. We left the house. We left the family. I was still in high school then. And later they started looking for me. They said I should come back home. And I returned back home. And we're still serving God till today.
Amen.
And after that, shortly after that, I finished my high school. And I left the village. I left the town. My younger ones now, we are a family of seven. My younger ones started believing the message. Because of the stand I took, my father said he will not hinder them. Because he tried to stop me, but it didn't work. So five of us are in the message today. I'm still praying for the two remaining. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting the Lord that he will bring them in. God bless you. So it's not a wasteful effort. The message of the hour is the only road to heaven. Keep on walking in it, and someday you see the golden corridors of heaven. And they say, welcome my son, welcome my daughter. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Praise God, amen. God bless you. So now I appreciate the Brother Charles and family that drove me down here. Blessed be God. So now let's just read and greeting from Africa, greeting from Nigeria, from the church, from the family. So we should take their greetings to the brethren. So I've delivered their message now. Amen. God bless you, sir. We'll read now from the scriptures. Let's take from the book of Hebrews. So I appreciate the pastor, the confidence, doing absentia. God richly bless him. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We'll pray again. Almighty God, here we are. We are going into the scriptures. Because of our little education, we can read it, Father. The words put together. The revelation and understanding coming from thee.
Yes.
And I pray, be the speaker. Be the hearer. Be the dweller of the word in us, Father. That together be justified. Believe in Christ, who is the word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 4, verse 12. We'll take that, we'll have a seat, then we'll have read some more scriptures. Hebrews 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. You be seated. We'll read Revelation chapter 5, from verse 1 to 7, Revelation 5, 1 to 7 says, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Amen. Let's read again Revelation. That's a very familiar scripture. Revelation 10. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I saw another mighty angel come from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, covenant angel. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when the lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Hallelujah. Denominational ages are over. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servant the prophet. Lastly now, Revelation 19. Amen. Praise God. And I still have another scripture, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just see how God will lead us. Hallelujah. Revelation 19, verse maybe supposed to come later, but let's just take it now. Verse 15, which says, And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Amen. Let's just go there. Ephesians chapter 6. We know that the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but is mighty, pulling down the stronghold of the devil. Amen. We are serving a living God, and he gave us the greatest weapon that man can fight with. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, praise the Lord, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery dart of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus Christ's name. So this morning, I don't know, you know, normally a preacher will seek the face of the Lord for what to preach. And sometimes what we thought of preaching is not what comes to us to preach. I don't know. I don't understand. I'm honest, brother. So tonight or this morning, we'll be speaking on applying the sword of the king. Applying the sword of the king. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I will tell you, it's not what I may love to preach, but somehow it comes and obedience is better than sacrifice, and hearkening than the fat of rams. Praise God. So folks, a common denominator is the message of the hour. I told my church, I said, look, me and you, you know, we supposed to have no basis. Okay? I said, we, myself and yourself, we are supposed to have no basis, no relationship whatsoever. I said, but what brings us together is the word of God. Therefore, if I'm telling you the word, that's to the church back home now, you refuse it. I said, there's no basis for dealing with each other. Because what God has given to me to give you salvation, to give you deliverance, to heal you, to set you free, is the word of the living God. So if you don't accept it, I can't help you. And there's no basis of dealing. So our common denominator is the word of the living God. And we are grateful to the Lord that he has given that to us. And we must cherish that more than our job, more than our necessary means. We are grateful to the Lord. So applying the sword of the king. Amen. So now, we just try to have some background before we go ahead. Certainly, America is the land of the message. Amen. The message came from America. You know, the gospel has three pools. The prophecy from, you know, from Israel, from Palestine. It jumped over the Asian, whatever, and it jumped into the Mediterranean. From the Mediterranean, it jumped, you know, to the Atlantic. And as the gospel advanced from Israel, from the east, it started picking messengers along its path. And we know that civilization travels with the sun. So also the gospel travels with the sun. And as it goes, it keeps on picking messengers. We know the first messenger was Paul. And the gospel was advancing from that region. And it was going. Hallelujah. Here he came to France. He picked St. Martin or Troas. And he moved from there. He jumped to, you know, over the English Channel. And here he picked Martin Luther in Germany. And he pulled again. And he picked John Wesley of England. And he pulled across the Atlantic. And he picked William Branham of America. Praise the name of the Lord. So America certainly is the land of the message. Amen. Though we know what the prophet, we know what the scripture says about America. She has her place in Revelation 13. And me and you are believers. Praise the name of the Lord. We are believers. And are traveling around your country, you say, America is a blessed country. Brother Branham said America was the flower of the earth. But she turned her back to the gospel. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. When God bless you, don't turn your back against him. Because somehow, someday, he will draw the blessings. But thank God for the believers, you know, for the people that have committed their life to the message in America. Praise God, amen. And somehow, you live in the land of plenty. For somebody to believe the message in the Western world, to me, is amazing. Sometimes, if you are suffering, it could drive you to look for a God. But if there's no suffering, so it has to be by sheer predestination. Amen. Apart from that, it'll be difficult for you to believe the word. If you are fighting war, if you are hungry, if you are naked, if you are in peril, you look for solution. You look for God. But when you don't have such situations, and you are serving God with confidence, brother, it shows predestination. I said, and one brother sang the song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. I said, he has seen beautiful spot on earth. And then he was struck with inspiration. I hope you are understanding my accent. He said, how beautiful heaven must be. He lived in a beautiful place. So he then imagined how beautiful heaven must be if it must be beautiful than where I'm living. But brother, heaven is more beautiful than America. It's more beautiful than Britain. Is more beautiful than the most beautiful spot on earth. Praise God, amen. Look, you cannot compare divine wisdom with natural wisdom. They are too far apart. And Brother Ronald said the divine architect, Christ Jesus himself, has gone there to prepare a place for me and for you. And that is why we are here, serving the Lord faithfully. By the word that God has given to us, through the prophet messenger of the hour. And we must be more committed to it than ever before. Brother, the day I deny Christ, my life become a shattering dream. That's my resolve. The day I deny Christ, my life become a shattering dream. And I believe maybe the same thing to you also. So we must not deny Christ. young or old, you must not deny Christ. If Christ has not denied you, why should you deny him? He has not denied anybody. So why should you deny him? You know, the Bible says, oh God, I don't know. Well, I just continue, amen. And I'm conscious of the time also. He said, I conceive no iniquity in Jacob. Do you know it's a mystery? Do you know it goes beyond human understanding? The very name Jacob means a deceiver. The very name Jacob means a shister. And Almighty God says, I don't conceive iniquity in Jacob. But Jacob himself, his personality was nothing but iniquity. And God said, I don't see it. Hallelujah, brother. He chose, brother said, he chose not to see it. He chose not to see it. And you can never make him see it. Praise God, amen. I may not be perfect in your sight. You may not be perfect in your sight, but not in the sight of God. Because he sent his son to the world to shed his holy blood. And so long as you're under that blood, he can't see iniquity in you. Praise God. That is why, you know, our definition of perfection is not God's definition of perfection. No! If our definition of perfection is God's definition of perfection, then nobody is qualified to make heaven, brother. Nobody is qualified to make heaven. What is this? This is sin. Flesh. We were born in sin. Shaped in iniquity. We come to the world speaking lies. Where does the lie come from? We were born with it. But thanks be to God for the shed blood of Calvary. He said, I perceive no iniquity in Jacob. And you cannot make him see iniquity. Impossible, brother. You can't make him see iniquity. I don't know why I'm going here now, but let me just stay there a while. Remember, Jacob, he deceived his father-in-law. The Pope plastics, he painted it, he made some colors on it, he made the cattle to conceive, looking at that. He understands the mystery of color. And when they conceive, the cow give birth to streaks. And colored and black and all kinds of multicolors put together. And the agreement was any calf that comes out that way belong to Jacob. And he had the mystery. He had the understanding. And he made them conceive until Laban became jealous. Until Laban was angry with his own son-in-law. He said, look, you have become richer than myself. Yes, yes. Do you know Jacob did not tell him he was going? All the years that Jacob lived with his father-in-law, he sneaked out of the place, out of the house, out of the city. He sneaked out. Listen, church. Look, if God predestinated you, it's not because of your roots. It's not because you are good. It's not because you are bad. It's not because of anything. He just loved you before the world began. That by foreknowledge, he ordained you to what you're supposed to be. Praise God, amen. Laban, I hope you're understanding me. He sneaked out. He ran away without the knowledge of Laban, of his father-in-law. And when the father-in-law discovered that, he was all out to get after Jacob. And the God of heaven appeared to Laban. Of all the evil, of all the deception, brother, I believe in holiness and righteousness. As Christians, hallelujah, our watchword must be holiness unto the Lord. Must not lie, must not cheat, must not steal. But God was writing a beautiful book of redemption. He was writing a beautiful story of redemption. That though you may be, your sin may be as red as crimson, scarlet as whatever. He said, come unto me, they shall be made white as snow. Laban, you know, he was on earth to quarrel with him or do whatever he wanted with him. But God appeared to Laban. Don't speak to him good or evil. Don't forget that Jacob is my servant. Brother, God blesses. Not because of anything. by his predestinated will, by his desire. That is why, brother, me and you must serve God more. Better than ever before. There are millions of America, or maybe thousands of America, that die on a yearly basis. And if you die as a sinner, you are not going to go to heaven. But tonight, brother, sister, including our children by the grace of God, if life should draw from this flesh, we have the hope of eternal life. That we will not go to hell. Praise the Lord. While I was traveling coming to America, I told my church, don't worry, I will come back. I'm traveling, I'm returning. And I say, if I don't return, we'll meet in heaven. We will meet in heaven. Praise the Lord. So church, if God love you, he love you. Not because of what you are. Not because of who you are. Not because of what you be. Not because of your family tree. It's just because he love you. And he purchased the salvation on Calvary Street. Was it here you were singing, he paid the debt he did not owe? I owe the debt. I could not pay. And I needed someone to take my sin away. But none of us could help ourselves. But he came from the heavenly palace in glory. He committed his life to death. And he said, now you can go free. Brother, you can go free. That drug has no power over us. Sin has no power over us because we have been set free. And that is the power of the sword of the king. He loosed and set free. Let's go now. God help us. Hallelujah. So in Celsius, this is the time. We know the experience the prophet had. He saw the vision of three pools. The little bitty bird. Ramsey, half inch tall, half inch wide. Small bird. Praise God. He said they were in the shape of a pyramid. You see, their feathers were well worn out. First pool was fading out. It was going out of existence. And he said they were looking eastward. He said after that experience, he saw bigger, brighter birds. He said they looked like doves. Bigger, brighter birds. It's also in the form of the pyramid. And he said, after that, he said they had a terrific blast that shook the whole world. And he thought he meant his death. He thought he was going. He said, Lord. He said the vision troubled him. He said, but Joseph was with him in the vision. Hallelujah. Terrific blast that shook the whole world. God was about to give the revelation of the Bible. Blessed be God's name. And after the blasts, he said, while he was looking westward, amen, before you could bat your eyes, seven angels appeared from eternity. He said, strong, powerful angels with pointed wings. He said, the seventh meant more to him than the other. He said, that is the one with my message. Praise God, amen. So, brother, oh God, we are so privileged. Tonight we are connected to heaven. This message came from there. How many churches are gathering together this morning? And all they are talking about is just from the head of the general overseer. But this one came from heaven itself. Here were angels. Here were experiences. Here was the prophet of the Lord. Here was the angel of the Lord coming to the earth to teach Brother Branham scriptures. We are privileged, brother. Not from a Bible college. Not from seminary. We are connected to heaven because of this message. Amen. And the angels came. He said they pick him up into the midst of the constellation. Hallelujah. The power of God pick him up. Brother, rapture is easy. Brother was picked up from here in the terrestrial. How much more in the glorified? Gravitational force will lose its hold. Amen. And once gravitational force loses its hold, brother, you become weightless, sort of. Is that not what they taught us? You take a step, it stays there. You take another step, it stays there until you go home. Like Enoch of old. We are waiting for that time, brother. That is our hope. That is our expectation. I can't wait no more for the rapture. Oh Lord, come. Praise God, amen. They pick him into the midst of the soul. Brother Branham had that experience. Then in the message, the breach, he told us when he was in Arizona. That's who says America is the land of the message. But we believed it in Africa. We're ready to believe it. Right? So, let's just take that now. That's in the message, breach. The breach of 1963. Is it paragraph 6? From paragraph 6. Amen. And he went to Sabino Canyon. Certainly we know Canyon. Amen. It's a steep-sided slope, sometimes with a stream flowing in the middle of it. That's a canyon. Rugged, jagged rocks. Rugged, jagged mountains. Brother Branham was very strong. He lived like a man of John Wesley's age in terms of physical strength. I wonder where he got it from. And he still had time to read books, volumes. Where on earth does he have the time to do all that? He will climb mountains, he will trek, he will walk. If God calls you, he makes your body. Hallelujah. To cope with the calling that he has given unto you. He was very strong. Thanks be to God. Now, he said, I went up in the canyon and I climbed up as high as I could go. And I asked the Lord, while standing up there, he said, what all this meant and so forth. And I was kind of bothered and I didn't know just what to do. Before then, he asked the Lord, Lord, if the blast means my death that I'm going. He said, let me just walk, you know, and I'm dead somewhere and the family don't know about me. He said, because I don't want them to worry about me. He said, Lord, but if it meant the furtherance of my ministry, he said, Lord, let your power come. And the message says, is this the time? And he said, the power of God came into the room and he found himself at a corner. He was in a corner, he found himself at another corner. And the power of God was present with him, brother. Hallelujah. Then he knew it meant the furtherance of his ministry and not the termination of his life. Amen. He said, Joseph be with him. He said, if the blast had killed him, he said, will I kill Joseph? He said, but Joseph called him in the vision. Praise God, amen. Which was an indication to show that it did not mean his end, but the furtherance of his ministry. So he went to Sabino Canyon. Let us move, amen. Maybe we just say it as much as we can. Hallelujah. Brother, I love the message. It's everything to me. Don't take it from me. Take my life and lead the message with me. Praise God. And while I was praying, strange thing happened. I want to be honest. Now I could have fallen asleep. It could have been like a trance. Or it could have been a vision, or more or less inclined to believe that a vision. I have my hands out. See? Lord, what does this blast mean? And what does these seven angels in a constellation of a pyramid picking me off from the earth, from the ground and turning eastward? He said, what does it mean? I was standing there in prayer and something happened. And now something fell in my hand. Hallelujah. With his hand lifted up, maybe on his knees. Oh Lord, what does it mean? Help me. And something struck his hand. That was in February of 1963. Amen. He said, something hit his hand. And he said, he pulled it down. He saw it was a sword. What? What is this? And he said, the sword perfectly fit his hand. Now, church, we have all kinds of claims today. Ministries and ministries and ministries. Callings and callings. But in a generation, God only sent one prophet messenger. Amen. And him alone did God give the sword of the king. And it perfectly fit his hand. It was designed to fit his hand. I bet if I hold that sword, it will not fit my hand. Because I'm to receive the word from the messenger. But we have all kinds of claims today. But church is all claims. Thunders or lightning without thunder, or thunder without lightning, is all claims. I can claim to be the president of America. I can claim to be the governor of the state of Connecticut. Does that make me the governor? Does that make me the president? No, bro. It's a claim. Jesus said, I had the power to lay my life down, and I had the power to take it up again. It was a claim before that resurrection money. But by resurrection money, it was no more a claim. It became a vindicated word Almighty God releases power from above to prove that which Jesus said. So you can claim anything. But if heaven does not vindicate it, it's all claim. It's all claim. Hallelujah. If the sword perfectly fits into Brother Branham's hand, he pulled it down. He said he was afraid of sword. That he was happy he was not born in the generation that were using sword to fight and to duel. We are talking about applying the sword of the king. Amen. Which is the word of God. Right. He pulled it down. He said the blade, he said, you know, and there were materials. Brother, if God works, if God is to produce something, he used the best material he can get. He used the best material that he can get. He said the sword, he said the blade was made of silver, chrome, razor sharp. Brother, razor sharp. You wave it this way, it cuts. You wave it this way, it cuts. And he said the guard, G-U-A-R-D. Right? I may not pronounce it the way you pronounce it. He said the guard was made of gold. Brother. So that they, when you handle it, the dwellers, you know, their hand will not slip. And this blade cut their hand. Wonderful materials that God used. He said it was about 3 feet long. The sword is about 3 feet long. He said the sword was very, very pretty, beautiful, nice, well built by God Almighty. Amen. And remember, the ministry changed from Moses to Joshua. His commission was changing. Praise God, amen. To bring about the opening of this book. And it does not take a theologian to bring about the opening of this book. It takes a God called prophet, vindicated by the pillar of fire, to bring about the revelation of this book. And he was given the sword of the king on Sabino Canyon. He said, it means the furtherance of your ministry and not the end of your life. And he was looking at, he said, a voice told him, he said, that is the king's sword. He said, if he had said a king's sword, he would have understood. He said, but the king's sword. And he said, there's only one, the king. And that is God Almighty. And the word of God, amen, the word of God is the sword of God. That's why in Revelation 19:15, the Bible says, out of his mouth, whose mouth? Jesus' mouth. Out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp to a sword. How can sword be coming from your mouth, from my mouth as I'm speaking to you? Sword coming as sword? No, brother, you run away from here. They will know that Revelation is a book of symbols. Hallelujah. As Jesus speaks, the word was coming forth. The sword was coming forth. And as the pastor preaches the word to you, what do you think comes from his mouth? The sword of the king. To destroy the devils that try to hold down your life. The sword proceeding from the mouth. The sword proceeding from the... To destroy the demons that try to hold down your life. Praise the Lord. It's the king's sword. Not a king's sword. The king's sword. He struck his hand. It was not a dream. It was not a vision. It was a literal happening. And that was the word of God. The revelation of the Bible was given to us. Amen. Maybe I won't follow my note now. Let's just try and go as God Almighty will help us. And the greatest weapon that God has given to us is this. This is the sword. And you know, the Bible contains every age. When Brother Branham said, give the people the word test. The word test. He said, give them the word test. I told the church back home, it's not just giving them the Bible. What does the Bible say? No, the word test is the message of the hour. What do they say about water baptism? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they say about serpent seed? What do they say about Godhead? Anybody that has a Christian background will tell you he believes the Bible. But it's not everybody that has a Christian background that believes this. The Bible for the hour is the message of the hour. Brother said, God sent a prophet to a generation and he writes the Bible. And God used Brother Branham to write the Bible for this generation. Now, not the second Bible. Amen. The spoken word is the original seed. It's the interpretation of this. So the message lies with this. Brother Ronald said, if you can't trace my teaching to the Bible, he said, don't believe it. Brother Branham was a Bible prophet. Brother, I can prove it from here to Australia, back to Asia, and back to Africa. Brother Branham was a Bible prophet. Nobody had been able to disprove his teaching. Was it not in Chicago here? About 400 doctors of divinities and preachers of America. Not any other country. America. Intelligent individuals to fought his teachings. You know it. Were they able to do it? They were unable to do it. If they were unable to defeat the prophet, they can't defeat us today. Standing upon the revealed word of the hour, they can't defeat us. Sometimes when we meet those guys, we tell them, come, bring your Bible. Let's talk based on the scriptures. Do they come? They don't come. They don't come. Brother, we are not defeatable. Brother Branham said, the message of Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, the bride is an independent bird. He said, she cannot be defeated. The bride is an independent bird. We are not defeatable, brother, because the word is our strength. Praise God. He said, he thanked the Lord that he didn't live in the ages that uses a sword. So now, oh God, praise the Lord. Let's do something now. We know. Can you come, brother? I don't know whether you know dueling. I don't know one single principle of dueling. That is D-U-E-L. I may not pronounce it well. How do you pronounce that? Duel. All right. Praise God, amen. We want to duel. You know that's what they... Now, a sword is a weapon of war. So when God commits, when God gives you the word, he is calling you to battle. He is calling you to fight. Right? And the Bible says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are the things we are fighting against, brother. We may be here as if the world is innocent. Brother, the world is not innocent. They are demon powers that prowl here and there to destroy you physically, to destroy you spiritually. But we have the blood with the word. And not in one, they cannot sink us. They cannot drown us. It may bring us low, but can't take us down. Because we have God. So when you begin, sword is a weapon of war. When God gives you the Bible, when God calls you to be a Christian, you are enlisted in the army of heaven. And that is to say, both men and women, you are called to battle on a daily basis. I'm sorry, brother, I will do what I want to do. On a daily basis. In your office, you fight. Right? Spiritual battles. In your school, children, you fight. Spiritual battles. The greatest battle keep on going on here. The war keep on raging. The war keep on raging. Every inch of ground you claim to believe, the devil make sure you prove it. Amen? Brother Branham said, America government did not give the pack to the rookies. You know rookies? Recruits, fresh soldiers. I hope you're understanding me. If you don't understand, raise your hand. I will spell the word. Praise God. I know, you know, what I know about America is from Brother Branham. Right? Amen. You see, they didn't give them the pack. You know, the soldier has some pack. They put on. You see, they don't give them that. For play. They don't train them to send them for a picnic. They are training them for battle. Maybe some country come to fight against America. But which country will fight against America? Praise God, amen. They send them to go and defend the nation. So when God called you to be a Christian, you are enlisted in the army of, as a member of the army of heaven. You are a Christian soldier. And you are called to war. You are called to battle. And me and you must not compromise. Let's fight now, brother. You know how to do it like this? You don't know it? Who know it? Praise God. Let's just, I don't know anything about dueling. But just to a physical demonstration. You can just come. When I do like this, you know, our hand will be crossing. No, make it straight. This is the sword now, for example, right? This is the sword now. Amen. I want to kill you. And you want to kill me also. Yeah. The battle is between the church and the devil. God and Satan. Faith and unbelief. Sickness and death. That's it. That's the battle. So I want to kill you, brother. And you too want to kill me. Amen. So now we dwell. We dwell like this. No, it will hit. It will hit. Just like this. Just like this. Then it will come to a time. You can come. It will come to a time. The two sword. Put your hand. The two sword will lock. Brother Branham said it will lock. You can't separate it. And it's pointing to my heart. It's pointing to his heart, for example. You understand now? I'm pointing the sword to his heart. I want to kill him. And he wants to destroy me too. So, do you know who wins now? The person that wins depends on the strength of the arm. Which is your faith.
Yes, hallelujah.
Which is your faith. Yes. You can sit down, brother. We do it. We do it. We do it. Then it becomes locked. Nobody seems to be winning the battle. Then you are left with your muscle. Which is your faith. In God. Brother, to apply this word, you must have a good degree of boldness. If you don't have a good degree of boldness, you can't apply the message. You must be bold. Peter was bold on the day of Pentecost. Remember before then, they lacked the power, the boldness. They locked themselves at the upper room. But when the Holy Ghost came, he gave them boldness. He said, I will give you power. Hallelujah. He said, when the Holy Ghost is come, he shall give you power. To preach, to sing, to come to church, to worship God, to stand for God, to live for God. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. So the devil wants to destroy us. We also want to destroy him. And someday we'll sentence him to his destruction. The white throne judgment is coming. Hallelujah. The devil will be judged. So he want to finish you, brother. He want to finish you, sister. But he can't finish us. Amen. Because Jesus had already won the battle for us. That's why we are great. We are more than conquerors. Because the battle was fought. And it was won. And the victory given to us. Praise God. So now, let's just move on. That is it. They want to destroy us. We also want to finish with them. Destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. Now, what are we talking about? Applying the sword of the king. Children, maybe in high school, maybe in elementary school. All kinds of things moves across. You radiate with sinners. Okay? Unbelievers are there. Children that doesn't have godly parents. Children that don't have manner. Children that don't have the knowledge of God in their mind. They want to rub their unbelief on you. They want to call you to smoke. They want to call you to drugs. They want to call you to living in sin, filthiness of life, fornication. What do you do? Brother Branham said, under no circumstances should a believer marry an unbeliever. And if they come to you with those things, what do? You chop it down. Sword is a weapon of battle. You hew it down. You hack it. Quote the scripture. Quote the scripture. Leave the scripture. Apply the scripture. Then you always overcome the devil. Because the devil cannot stand against the word of the Lord. He can't overcome the scriptures. It's not possible in this world. Praise God. Brother Branham says this. He said there was a story. A Cockney. You know Cockney? He's a native of the East End of London. Cockney. He's a native of the East End. There's a way they pronounce their word. Hallelujah. You know, the world is a funny place. I can't remember where I was saying it. Sometimes we boast of our language. But tell me one genuine language under the sun. Tell me one genuine language under the sun. Is it my own? I'm not even good in speaking my native dialect. I'm better in English than my native language. It's funny. It's strange. Hallelujah. So which language is better than the other under the sun? It's all Babel, confusion. So this Cockney, the prophet said, there was a war. The enemy was staging war against the kingdom in England. And the king was going to his kingdom. He was not there. No, there was no high-ranking political official or kingdom officer to send. The only one he saw was a poor cockney. Poor man with ragged dress. But your stature doesn't matter. Your face doesn't mean anything. It's the authority behind. So what happened? The king called the cockney, and said, look, I needed a message to send to the king, to be sent to the kingdom. He says, I can't go. No, you can go. Then the king gave the cockney his scepter. You know, the scepter shows authority. The scepter proved the presence of the king. That's it represents the authority of the kingdom. And he gave the cockney. He said, take this. With this, nobody can stand against you. Nobody can stand before you as far as my kingdom is concerned. And the man now had the boldness. He had the courage. He had the confidence. Hallelujah. When he got to these gates, hey, gate open. Who are you? I have the king's message. They opened the gate. He got to another place. I have the king's message. I have the king's message. Who will they stand against the king's message? Who are you? They look at him. It does not look like the authority he represented. But the king gave him the scepter. Every gate opened for him. Church of the living God, we have the king's message. We have the king's message. In your office, you have the king's message. And you must use your God-given authority. Because you are his son. We are not third-class citizens. Being that we are Christians does not mean that we don't know our rights. No, brother. We know our rights. But our kingdom is not of this world. Right? Blessed be God's name. We have the king's message. The scepter, you have the king's war. We have the king's message. Every enemy had to move. Every devil had to move. Praise God, amen. Now, church, excuse me. The fivefold ministry, your pastor, myself, every other one, maybe some other fivefold here, we operate under the same authority. Or the sword of the king given to Brother Brown. We operate under the same authority. Look, church, Brother Branham said before he came with the ministry of divine healing, Brother Branham said nobody was in the field. He said the field, that is the path to the gospel. That's why he's a pathfinder. Who was preaching divine healing before Brother Branham came? Nobody. He said nobody was in the field when he started in the 40s, even in the 30s. He said, but God used him to move the storms, to remove the brass, and clear the pathway. And that gave inspiration to Robert, Billy Graham, Tommy He, all those other guys. Then they received the courage. They received inspiration. We can go! Because God has used one to find the path. He bulldozed all those storms that grow along the path of the gospel. God used Brother Branham to bulldoze everything. He smoothed the path. So we are riding upon it tonight, brother. That's why we must not have our own message. We must not have our own message. So the fivefold ministry operate under that same authority. But then the muscles of faith must be strong enough. It must be strong enough. Sometimes tall trees start growing in the church. Unbelief. Things that are contrary to the word. Sometimes some people try to control the pulpit. Maybe because of their financial muscles. Maybe because of their political inclination. Maybe because of their industrial whatever. They tend to control the pulpit. And it takes the sword of the king by the strong muscle of faith for the pastor to chop it down. Sword is to cut. Right? Before the advent of the sewing machine, you know the sewing machine that they used to cut tree? What do we use? Machete. We use cutlass to cut the trees. We use axe. So sword, as it says, is an implement of war. It's used to clear sometimes grasses, unbelief, doubt, weeds. We tend to be growing in the church. What do we use?
We use the sword of the king to clean it, to clean it, to cut it, and make the compound clean. Make the church clean. So that when we come together, we can worship. If this place is very dirty, will you be comfortable here? If there are grasses here, refuse there, papers and dust and all over, the whole place is littered with refuse. You can't be comfortable here. It takes the word of the Lord. Spiritually, when there's sin, when there's unbelief, that's how the church of the living God is. Grasses will be growing. What do we use to cut it? The sword of the king. Let's apply it. He cleaned the church well. And so long as you preach the gospel, being anointed, sin cannot abide in the church. Sin cannot abide. It's either the person repents or the person leaves. You take the sword of the king to keep the church clean. Boys and girls, you must use it in your schools. Amen. The married, you're married. You must use that sword in order to live above sin in this generation. Remember, the devil is bold. The devil is not a timid individual. Right? Was it not Judas, the devil in Judas, that gave Jesus a kiss? He was not even afraid. Sometimes they test you. Sometimes they tempt you. Right? To try to bring you to their fear. But show the sword. Remove it, brother. Quote it. Say it. And let it come. Sword proceeding from your mouth. You chop them down. When sickness come, chop it down. When unbelief come, chop it down. When situations come contrary to the word, chop it down. Brother, brother, say if you chop him once, he does not chop. You say chop him again. If you go the second time, he does not hear. He say chop it again. Keep on chopping. Until you finish with that devil. Until you finish with that unbelief. And you stand victorious again. So that is what the fivefold use to keep the church clean. Fathers, you must use the sword of the king to keep the house clean. Sometimes children tend to bring some very funny. They tend to bring the world into the house. We must stand as Christian fathers. We must stand as Christian mothers. Let the sword proceed from your mouth. You say, my daughter, I love you from the depth of my heart. But this home has been dedicated for the grace of Christ. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's what we use to clean the home. That's what we use to clean the church. We must apply it on a daily basis. We operate under that authority. But you must be bold to make use of the word. Amen. I'm looking at the time. Praise God. I was told the time to leave here. So I'm still behind that now. Thank you, brothers. Amen. That's what we use to sweep the church clean. Now, if you are using a pen knife, you know pen knife? P-E-N. The knife. K-N-I-F-E. Pen knife. You can fold it. You can bring it. Brother Brandon said, if you're using a pen knife, you're a compromiser. You're a compromiser. You can't stand boldly to say, this is what the word says. We must not use pen knife. We are Christian soldiers. We must use the sword. Don't use pen knife. Thank you, sir. When Jesus, you know, John sent his disciples to Jesus. He said, go and find out. Is it the Messiah that was to come? Hallelujah. And Jesus told the disciples of John, he said, please wait here. And they waited. They saw the prayer line. They saw the discernment. They saw the everything. He said, what you have seen, go and tell John the Baptist. Amen. And when John left, Jesus paid the greatest compliment that could be paid to him. He said, who does man go to the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? A reed is a symbol of compromise. Right? A reed is a symbol of compromise. Oh, brother, something is just coming to my mind. Do you know, the Bible says, a broken reed, it will not break. And a smoking flax, it will not quench. That should be in Isaiah. I can't remember the scripture. It's also in the New Testament. He said, a reed is a symbol of, I don't know, a reed is a symbol of iniquity. It's a symbol of instability. It's a symbol of faithlessness. But God says, a broken reed. You know, a reed is a tall grass that normally lives around water. Tall. Now, when it's broken, no gravity. It can't stand. It falls. But God said, I won't break it. He said, the flax is smoking. He said, I will not even quench it. Oh, brother, God is so loving. God is so faithful. In your effort at serving the Lord, sometimes you may smoke. Do you know God don't quench it? Nobody ever come to God and God turn away. No matter your state. He said, a broken reed and a smoking. It's a subject on its own. He said, I will not quench. He said, I will not even break. I won't use it. A broken reed? I don't need it. What am I using it for? It's useless. But God said, I will not break it. Your faith may be weak. Your strength may be weak. You may not be so strong in serving the Lord, but don't think that God will turn you away. He will not destroy you. Sisters, if your stove, whatever you call it, our gas cooker and our electric cooker came from stove. I hope you understand me. S-T-O-V-E. Stove that uses wick. You know the trade. You know, sometimes it smokes. And if it's smoking, you repair, it doesn't work, you repair. Just travel in my thought now. You fix it, it doesn't work, you fix it, it doesn't work. Sister, what do? You throw it away. You buy another one. But God said, I won't quench it. I won't throw it away. I will not keep. It's producing smoke. It's not truly really producing fire. Your services to God is not very, I don't know which one will I use now. Your services to God is not very, very acceptable. It's not very, very healthy. It's not very, very reasonable. But God said, I won't quench that. That little service, I will not even destroy it. That's the scriptures. A broken reed, he said, I won't break. A smoking flax, he said, I won't quench it. So, brother, no matter how you feel, come to church. I feel I'm backsliding. Come to church. I feel I can't go again. Come to church. I feel I don't want to serve God again. Come to church. He will accept you as you are. He said, just as I am without one plea. God help us. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Now, we must not use pen knife. Let's move on now. So God healed Israel. God healed Israel from the rest of the world. Hosea chapter 6. Right? God healed Israel. I can't read it now. Recognizing your dear and its mercy. Paragraph 78. God healed Israel from Egypt by the sword. He used a prophet to heal Egypt. To cut Egypt. And so has he used a prophet in this end time. To heal us from denominations. From Cali, from Presbyterian, from Baptist. From he healed us. By the instrumentality of a prophet, by the sword of the king, he cut us from that white tree. And here we are, enjoying the goodness of the Lord, enjoying the freshness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And our soul is so satisfied. Amen? Our soul is so satisfied. If you have come to the message truly, you don't feel you are losing anything. You are not even craving for any other message. It's so satisfying. Hallelujah. Sometimes when some folks backslide, the demon in Nigeria is the same demon in America. Fighting the church of the living God is the same demon. Right? It's the same demon. So if your pastor come visit us there, the same message he preach here, he should preach it there. He will meet the condition of the church over there. Blessed be God's name. So we were healed. We were cut from all those churches. We were healed out of denominational churches. And here we have been planted in Christ. So sometimes when they backslide, you happen to meet them, some of them comes back. They say there's nothing there. They say there's nothing there. Denomination is empty. Laodicea is empty. It's a dead church age. And we have been called out of Laodicea. We're only waiting for the rapture. We are not in cosmos system. We are not in Laodicea system. We are not in the church system. We have been called to the system of the word. God's name be praised.
So we have been healed out of denomination. So now, that is it. And that is why sometimes your pastor cannot pastor the church the way you want it. No. He can pastor you the way you want it. He must pastor you the way he wants it. And if you have God here, he will not be offended. He will not be offended. Can I tell you something? Brother Branham says, to follow God, you must follow a man. Understand me very well. To follow God, you must follow a man. Right? Now, another thing, how do you know the church to go to? I don't know the name of this city here. Who told you the church to go to? It's the divine grace of Almighty God. It's the divine grace of Almighty God. The good Samaritan found you half dead on your way to Jericho. And he balmed you with oil and wine. Right? And he put you on his beast. He put you on his power. And he lead you to the church where you can sit and be satisfied hearing the word of the living God. And your soul is at peace. You don't know the church to go. I don't know the church to go. But he led us in one way or the other, under different circumstances, he led us to where we should be. So Brother Branham said, to follow God, you have to follow a man. And that's why people call out Branhamism, Branhamism, Branhamism. It doesn't mean anything. Brother Branham is the prophet of the age. So if you call me Branhamism, it's okay. I know who I am. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I know I'm a child of God. But to follow God, you must follow a man. Now, church, Israel, the children of Israel in Egypt did not know the road to Palestine. No. God sent Moses to them. The pillar of fire was sent to Moses, and Moses was sent to Israel. As Moses saw the pillar of fire moving, Moses started moving. The church started following. That's it. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Was Paul a heavenly angel? He was an earthly angel. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. And he said, I, Paul, the wise master builder, I laid the foundation. And the others that come after me built thereon. He said, but be careful the kind of material you put upon it. Hallelujah. They were the foundation. Praise God. So now, your pastor can't pastor you. Because of time, we can't read the quotes. You want it this way, you do it that way. No. It must be in accordance with the leadership of the Holy Spirit by the word of the living God. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you comply. Amen. Pray for your pastor. Travel with his vision. I say travel with the vision of your pastor. I don't know your church. If you don't travel with the vision of your pastor, this church will not prosper. Anything with two heads to it always runs into problems. There's a snake in the world. There's some snakes that has two heads. I've seen it once in the paper. I think in Germany also. Two-head snake. It can spend 24 hours on a particular location. You understand that? The snake with two heads. Snake. It has two heads. It can spend 24 hours in a particular location. Because the head in the right wants it to go right. The head in the left wants it to go left. And they are struggling. As a result, no progress. No progress. No progress. So the church should travel with the vision of the pastor. Amen. By the word of the living God. You know you will not prosper. Amen. Praise God. We'll soon close now. Yes, not the way you want it. But the grace of Almighty God. Chop down the enemy. Chop down the enemy. Remember Moses with the stick. He struck the rock. And water of life gushed out. Remember the Pyramidal Mountain? Geno Jackson's dream? And the prophet, like a crowbar in the air, he ripped open the top of that mountain. And underneath there was the rock beneath the rock, which the prophet called the program of God in the message contest. Is the Lord open to us? The rock beneath the rock, the program of God. And he reveals to us God's nature. So also God made the prophet in this end time. with the sharp tool of the word, with the sword of the king, he ripped open Christ's side. And the mystery secret gushed out to the bride. It's only me and you that knows that. It's only me and you that knows that. It's the wife that has the secret of the husband. I'm talking about a family that is governed by the scriptures. If the family is not governed by the scriptures, the wife may not know the secret of the husband. But it shows that something is wrong somewhere. Because our marriages must be heaven on earth. If my wife would deceive me, then what else? I don't believe she can't do it. She cannot do it. My life is in her hand. She can't do it. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you should do that. I call her one day, honey. I travel a lot, you know, here and there. Come and be a co-signator to my account. Whatever is there. Can call her, go to the account, withdraw money. She can't harm me for nothing. That's my confidence. And that must be our confidence. And that must be our confidence in Christ. Because Christ has confidence in us, and we must not betray him. We can't betray him. Amen. All right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now, he ripped open Christ's side, and the mystery secret just gushed out to us. Now, remember the sword of the king walks with the shield of faith. Right? In those days, you know, in the Old Testament battle, they use sword, they use arrow, and they use shield. Oh, brother. Amen. They use shield. You know, as they throw the arrow, as they fire the sword, if it hits you, you are gone. And you see the arrow of the enemy coming, you just put the shield of faith. And it will, the arrow of the devil will hit it. Sickness, unbelief, whatever, everything. He hit it, and it drops down. That's why your arm must be strong with faith, with the boldness. The devil coming to say boo to him also. You say boo to him also. If you are not bold, you can't say that, brother. If you tell me, I will deal with you by the scriptures. The devil will leave you alone. But being a stubborn entity, he will come back. Use the same formula. As he shoots his arrow, put the shield of faith. Hallelujah. Put the shield of faith and show him the sword of the king. Protect yourself with faith. Because you chop him down, he will find his way back. You put the sheath of faith. Let's close now. Destroy the devil by the sword of the spirit. Amen. As the word proceeds from your mouth, you're finished with it. Apply. We must apply the sword everywhere. Sister, you apply it in your kitchen. Amen. Apply it in the bathroom. Apply it everywhere, anywhere. Children, apply the sword. Don't copy those things that happens in your school. You are copying ungodly children. I told my children, well, I'm closing now. I said, for God to bless you in life, you must serve God by this message. And I told them, it's not by force. It's not by force. But for you to be blessed, for your life to be meaningful on earth, you must serve God by this message. Or you are gone. Rely on God's economy. Don't rely on the economy of America. You know what your prophet said about it. You know what our prophet said about it. Trust in the Lord. Always. And so shall ye prosper. Shall we pray now? I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. And it told thy love to me. To rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, draw me near. Oh yes, nearer, bless the Lord. To the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near. Amen.
blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen. We are such a blessed people. Hallelujah. To know the Lord, know this message in this last day. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and sing. We've been made more than conquerors. Hallelujah.
Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Let's have Brother Louis come forward and close the service with a word of prayer this morning. Hallelujah. Amen.
Bow our head. Once more, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord. Your word's been preached, Lord. We have been receiving from above, Lord, something that will help us to go forward. Father, there is a sore, which is your word, Father, and we just want to stand knowing that you are the great captain, holding our arms, holding our hands, and just giving us that inspiration in front of any enemies, Lord God. We just want to ask you to help us in this week ahead of us, Lord God, that we may see and conquer all enemies, Lord God, that we may take by faith, Lord, the land that you gave us, Lord God. As you said to Joshua, take your land. As you said, Father, to Caleb, Lord, I want my mountain, oh God. Oh God, let us just go forward, Lord, knowing that we have receive everything we need. Oh God, be glorified, be exalted, Lord. Bless our brother that gave us this word this morning. Give him his strength back. Bless his family back in Africa, Lord. Be with them, oh God. Be with us all, Lord, for we ask you, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to bless the singing now that we are giving you, Lord, as a praise unto you, Lord God, and this week ahead of us as a praise unto you, oh God. Let our life praise you, Lord, in everything we do and say, that your name may be glorified in our life, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.